Wake up with Power FM's Brad and Hutsy.
I, like most people, have taken a great interest about what the states are doing the last couple of months because I'm someone that one day I would like to go to Queensland and actually enjoy a holiday.
Territories, though, couldn't give a stuff.
No.
Who wants to go to the ACT or the Northern Territory?
Whatever.
States, though.
Yeah, you go to Canberra because you have to, not because you want to.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those necessity things. But yeah, up north, love to go to the Gold Coast or somewhere where it's actually sunny basically all year round. Obviously, with COVID, just keep pushing the holidays back and back further. I think they're around about late October now, fingers crossed. Things sort of clear up by then. But we do know we've got quite a big housing crisis, though, when it comes to our region around here.
We certainly do,
a bit of a shocking state of affairs. But what if I was to tell you there's somewhere in Queensland, on the water, multi-million dollar views, where you could live rent-free?
I'd say you're a big fat liar. Get out.
Oh, no, Brad. I'm not a liar. The place is Noosa. Take a listen to this story.
Noosa is one of the best known and most expensive holiday spots in Australia. But Nick Lusco says in the last 18 months it's become a dumping ground for boats, in particular houseboats people are living on. Nick says within a couple of kilometres of the river mouth there are now more than 300 boats, many clearly not paying for a mooring, some not even registered, and they have everything from solar power to satellite dishes.
That's right, people hanging out on the waters up in Noosa.
Genius.
Genius. And they're doing it rent-free because it's a bit of a loophole, actually, because houseboat owners can anchor free of charge because it's a loophole in the state law.
Just in Noosa or anywhere in Queensland?
I think
you can
it's
drop
just
anchor
in this,
and you're...
I think it's just in this Noosa area at the moment.
Yeah.
And some of these houseboats, man, they're like, if it was a car, there's no way to pass Richo. Some of them are just the most dodgiest looking thing. And owners, they're paying, obviously, millions of dollars for these houses. They're paying, like $1,000 a week to rent a house for people that are renting them out and things like that. And these people are living free of charge.
At the trailer park trash of the ocean.
Yeah.
These guys showing up in their houseboats that look like they were used on the set of Waterworld or something, some sort of post-apocalyptic pontoon sort of houseboat looking thing.
You can sort of hear from the tone, it's a current affairs story. And they're trawling the waters and then all of a sudden there's a rich guy in the boat taking their pull around going, look, it's like the slums of Brazil at the moment. It's like, I don't know if it's that bad, but...
It's like, I can't get my 20-foot yacht out because of these poor people that can't afford to rent places, trying to live on the water. How dare they?
Exactly right. It's like, you need to show both sides of the story. So what are the people saying? Obviously, the reporters confronted some of these people with these houseboats going, are you permanently living here or are you just sort of holidaying? What's the story? This is what one of them had to say for themselves.
This lady says she only uses her boat to practice the violin.
Are you living here or...?
No, it's a studio. It's like I come off land to get away to practice.
Bit of art. Inspired by the open ocean and the waves, and that's good.
Or maybe her violin playing is that bad. It's like she's been sentenced to live a couple of months on the ocean to practice the violin.
Too many complaints from the neighbours.
Yeah, she's so the locals are pretty... angry at the whole thing as well. Then you got
when you first said it was a current affair, I thought it was going to be a complaint about a dodgy builder. I'm like, this guy's so dodgy that the houses are floating away. That's how bad he is.
Just about.
Yeah.
But obviously, houseboats, waste seems to be a big problem. What's happening to the waste? Well, it seems like it's a bit of a big issue as well.
The other issue is pollution. Pollution. There's no... There's no policing of where they dump their empty their toilet.
You can go on the end of your jetty, and while you're sitting there, you'll notice a wonderful slick in the water, followed by toilet paper.
If you go out to catch a toadfish, and you catch a turdfish,
mate, I've got news for you. Where do you think the dolphins and the whales and all the other fish are doing their business? In the ocean. It's full of poo and wee.
I think this guy's seen too many photoshopped postcards or something like that. Like, oh, there would never be a turd in this beautiful river or, you know.
It's like, how snobby are these people? They've never had a cheeky wee when they've gone out for a swim. They go, oh, look, I can't be stuffed drying myself and going to the public toilets. I'm just going to do it here.
Exactly right.
It's good enough for the dugongs. It's good enough for me.
Yeah, and there's a bit of an us versus them whole attitude because a lot of the people that own these things are saying, look, you know, they're just upset because we're supposedly blocking their, you know, multi-million dollar view, even though we've just got mangroves around us or whatever. But it looks like this problem has extended to, you know, over the Tasman Sea as well, because obviously we heard of that lady practicing the violin while she's supposedly on the waters and stuff as well. Apparently one of the worst offenders is a band from New Zealand. You know, they've been there for quite a while. Take a listen to this one. No need to rub it in there, guys. Come on.
Power FM's Brad and Hutsy, weekdays from 6.
Australia is still doing pretty well at the games over in Tokyo.
Yeah.
Getting the medals in. But, yeah, winning is great. But it's not something I can really identify with.
Yeah, I've never won anything.
That's, you know, that's why I never got into sport. I was never very good at it. You know, when it comes to, you know, the triumphs, can't relate. When it comes to the tragedies, definitely can relate to that.
Yeah. Unless you're the best of the world at something, like, you just like, you think, okay, I won't be going on. Then you look over there and it's like, oh, that person's way better. It's like, well, there's no point.
That's it.
I give up.
And, you know, when it comes to, I guess, personifying this whole ideal that the games has, I think these events these events that you watch where someone has an accident and then they come back from it, that's the ones where I'm amazed by. Like, we were talking about that Dutch runner yesterday.
Yeah, something similar happened to this in the equestrian. I think it was the Atlanta Games, 1996. Like, I think one of the female riders fell off the horse and broke a collarbone.
That's right. I remember that.
Gold. I can't remember what her name was for the life of me.
Incredible.
But that's one of those.
Well, one of our Aussies had a setback at the velodrome yesterday, Alex Porter. He was riding around and the handlebars of his bike came off mid-race.
Oh.
Now, these guys aren't doing like a leisurely ride down to the corner shop for some milk.
No.
Okay, these guys are flogging it around this velodrome. And poor Alex, yeah, the handlebars, I don't know if they had a few bolts left over when they reassembled his bike back in Tokyo, but the handlebars just popped off mid-race. No. So not surprisingly, he came straight off the bike, managed to lose some skin off his face, and then just got off and was seen on camera just muttering to himself in frustration as he limped off the track. I'm just like, man, if it was me, I would have been like, you know, just sitting on the sitting on the track for a good 10 minutes just going, just nursing that leg. But yeah, he lost some skin off his face, a little bit off his knee and that.
Yeah, usually when you're a kid, when something like that happens, all of a sudden one of your siblings goes, get mom, and then mom comes out and picks you up, cradles you like you're asleep and carries you inside to get some Betadine on there.
Yeah, I thought the whole world would have been watching me as my mum dabbed a bit of Dettol.
Yeah,
no, it stings, stop. Oh. So yeah, poor Alex, he had to walk all the way back to where the team, you know, the team support was on the side of the track. You think one of the other riders could have at least dinked him back.
Yeah, put some pegs on the back.
Hop on, mate. Here we go. So he was eventually offered a re-ride by officials. So he suited up again, climbed back on his bike around 30 minutes later, but obviously didn't do as well as he'd hoped. But it is one of those events where, like, if they said, Brad, we're sending you to the next games, which event would you like to be part of? Cycling for me would be way down the list, because of the risk of injury.
Absolutely.
Same with pole vault. Oh. I've seen enough pole vault videos of blokes copping either the pole to the squishy bits or the bar or whatever. I would never sign up for pole vault. Diving, people whacking their heads on the back of the board, or like, you know,
Greg Louganis back in the day.
That's him, yeah. Or like, you know, belly flopping into the pool, something like
celebrity
that.
Celebrity splash.
I'd probably go swimming. That to me seems like the least risk of injury. You're like, maybe sucking down other swimmers' pee if you cop a mouthful of pool water, and maybe hitting your hand on the side of the pool if you don't time your backstroke properly. But other than that, that's it.
And then if you're that bad at swimming, Eric the Eel, worldwide sensation. You have to win the race. You can
that's
be
it.
That bad that you become a sensation.
Yeah.
It could happen.
So, sadly for Alex, that's pretty much it. He was first in line, though, to get a coffee at the Athletes' Village. So that was good. But I'm like, man, if you're riding at the games and representing your country, if a part of your bike is going to fall off, I'd rather it be the handlebars. You know, if the seat came off mid-race, you know, you don't have to worry about getting a gold, bronze, or silver medal. You've just got to worry about getting some stainless steel medal in your Olympic ring, if you know what I mean.
Wake up with Power FM's Brad and Hutsy.
Well, we do know people get rowdy at the Olympics, especially the athletes. You know, what was it, around 160,000 bits of male protection floating around the Olympic Village, for numbers that we've been hearing and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
People like to celebrate these Olympians as well. So, but they've actually created their own little sort of hub, the Olympians, when it comes to an app, like a dating app. They've got their own sort of close-knit group when it comes to like a Tinder to try and hook up with the athletes in the village.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So you can, like, find other long jumpers in your area.
Yeah, exactly like right. At least you know they're goal-orientated like yourself as well. You know they're going to be doing lots of travelling because they're a fellow athlete as well. It kind of makes sense, doesn't it? But for the people in Australia and other countries, like, that's about as close as you can get is watching the Olympics on TV. But what if somehow you could join Tinder and be able to be matched with people that are Olympians in the Olympic Village.
Well, that'd be pretty handy.
That would be very handy.
You don't have to adjust the radius anymore. No. Like you're looking for someone within 30 kilometres.
You just have to adjust like the medal preference or something like that. Like you can go through that.
Nobody below silver. All the bronze athletes like, aw, come on.
A bit rough though, isn't it? But actually, if you purchase a subscription to Tinder Plus or Tinder Gold is what they're named, you can actually access a Tinder Passport, which has a feature in the app that allows you to swipe through profiles of people located on different parts of the world.
Right.
So it's like a little pin where you can just drop it and then all of a sudden you can look for in that specific area. And just as it so happens, you can actually drop that inside the Olympic Village.
Okay.
Regular people can now search for people on Tinder if they've got the premium app that are in the Olympic Village.
And then like shoot these games athletes a message like, hey, want to test out that cardboard bed later on? Things
exactly
like that.
Right. And the person that managed to crack the code was a comedian from the US of A named Reed Kavner. So this guy, basically, he's just gone, all right, I'll just try my luck and see how I go. Mm. And it turns out he actually dropped a message to a Canadian swimmer. Take a listen.
I made this video about how I used Tinder Plus to put myself in the Olympic Village so I could swipe on Olympic athletes and maybe match and fall in love with one. And I got this comment from one of the athletes in my video who I swiped on. She's a swimmer on the Canadian national team.
Yeah, right. Katerin Savard, her name is.
Why didn't he just shut her a message like, hey, you up for some breaststroke or something? Or?
Exactly right. Shut her a nice little video, matched up with her and everything like that. And she sent back some emojis of like five people putting their hand in the air as well, because obviously the next thing comes, it's like, all right, it's an Olympian. You've got to try and impress them in some way.
Yeah.
So, you know, he goes, all right, I've read your profile. I can see that you're like, you know, when it comes to languages, Canadian, so French-Canadian possibly.
Which is just English? Yeah. Or your French-Canadian, there's a bit of French sprinkled in?
Yeah, there's a bit of French sprinkled in there. So he tried his best. This is how he went.
Je m'appelle Français. J'adore la piscine. Aussie.
Yeah, needs a bit of work with the dismount, I think, on that one as well.
Was he asking you, do you pee in the pool? Yeah. Is that what he was asking?
I should know because I took French at school. I didn't listen, though, when I came to classes, so I have idea what this guy's trying to say. But obviously, people have seen this. They've picked it up. The whole thing's gone viral.
Mm.
But it's now the sort of the cat's out of the bag because now there's a whole bunch of other people that have sort of stuffed up the algorithm. First, it was like him sneaking in doing this. Now everyone knows about it, so then everyone's doing the same thing as well.
Oh, right.
So this thing's just absolutely blown up as well.
I wonder how many messages the pole vaulters are getting.
Yeah, exactly right. Even TikTok shared on their official page saying, well done. I think you've just won the Olympic Games. Something like that as well. But, you know, so he's met a Canadian, so good luck with that as well. Unfortunately, if you're looking to meet an American, I think you're pretty much out of luck as well because the app's called Tinder Gold, not Tinder Silver or Bronze.
Oh.
Power FM's Brad and Hutsy. Weekdays from 6.